welcome. Welcome back to the Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Top of the second hour this Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018. Welcome to 2018. It's going to be a better year. It's going to be. Bad guys want to do bad things. They want to bring the open conspiracy more out into the open in H.G. Wells fashion. We'll talk more about that. But, you know, again, one of the big problems is that the libertarian resistance really isn't. So that's challenging, you know. It seems like, you know, in simple kind of oversimplified fashion, to be a pacifist means that you get run over by, you get railroaded, sometimes quite literally, it seems. But that's something we'll address too on this broadcast this year. But for now, a few more predictions and then we'll move on. I predict for the coming year, increased balkanization, political division among the general populace, being even more, even further divided along even more specious lines of conflict. I predict more artificial intelligence, machine learning driven, Rand Corporation game theory style dialectic gaming of the masses. The same kind of thing that we've seen with the opioid crisis. I'll talk more about that in a minute. These more soft, subtle, seductive, sort of artful sideswipes that we've seen recently that seem to be very, you know, very slick, very clever. We've been seeing more of these recently, a kind of seventh dimension chess, as it were, like the opioid epidemic, which it turns out is at least in part an end run on the microchipping of people issue. More on that in a minute. I predict more outing, as I said, in the mainstream of the open conspiracy, the conspiracy a la H.G. Wells. I predict that despite stories like USA Today's story today, USA Today today, in suggestibilist fashion, this headline, you know how I always talk about the devil has one but one weapon, and it's the power of suggestion, and you see these questions like what the devil does in the garden. Did God really say? Always testing. So you see these suggestibilist headlines that usually have a question mark at the end of them. It proposes something with a sort of implicit suggestion, the possibility of evil, basically, in the headline. So in suggestibilist fashion from USA Today, today, the headline, will the economy bust out in 2018? Question mark. Will it? The economy will continue to stall, I predict, in spite of the ongoing reports of improvement and recovery. Still into the Trump administration. Now that's a point of controversy. Donald Trump is taking credit. Everybody, you know, the Obama era holdouts say, yeah, but, you know, it's because of the groundwork that Obama laid. And I say, it's not recovery. Let's quit fooling ourselves. This, we're being lied to, and we're basically getting sucked in to another series of lies. But let me rephrase that. Because it's a nuanced discussion that gets oversimplified, and that becomes a logical fallacy. Fallacy of oversimplification. So let me rephrase that. The vast majority of common folk, which includes me, maybe you, will continue to be crushed by the ever-widening disparity caused by the monolithic tech giants that will continue to grow, while people hardly able to people will be crushed by the ever-widening disparity caused by the disruptive innovation, actually, and its handmaiden disruptive technology created by technocratic regimes gobbling up the labor pool. And I don't mean the workers, not the workers, the labor. Technocrats are gobbling up labor and trying to dispense with currency so they can move to the digital stuff, digital labor, digital currency. So the monolithic tech giants will continue to grow while the people, hardly able to do so, will pay for more useless crap designed specifically to further spy on and enslave them by regimenting and controlling every aspect of their lives. From an app Yay. That's what I predict. Meanwhile, cryptos, the Revelation 13 economy, cryptocurrencies, and the, let me say that again, the Revelation 13 economy, I believe very strongly that's what cryptocurrency represents, and the coming wave of ICOs, as they're called, initial crypto offerings, will continue to provide a sleek, seductive alternative, a dialectical counterpart to the aforementioned. And the stories are everywhere in this stuff. I mean, I was joking, thinking about these things yesterday and the day before, and the headlines reflected. They're not predictions, really. You know, what was the headline that I just saw? Criminal Underworld. This is Bloomberg today. Criminal Underworld is dropping Bitcoin for another currency. And there are, what was the other headline? I just saw another one. It says the same thing. So, you know, these aren't predictions. In the same kind of fashion that labor is being destroyed, Fast Company reported yesterday minimum wage increases just went into effect for these 18 states. An estimated 4.5 million U.S. workers will benefit from a series of minimum wage increases that went into effect today, according to an analysis by the Economic Policy Institute. Apparently, you don't understand how this works. That is a way to destroy labor. That's what's going to happen. That destroys labor. You know, you go back to all of the $15 an hour discussions, fight for 15 in Seattle and so forth, the study that proves that it's a bad idea, only to have city officials say, well, maybe we should commission our own study, you know, to counter the real data from UW and all that nonsense. Just ridiculous, you know. The real numbers are you will crush labor by doing that. So it's really not a prediction. It's just an observation. And so when I say predictions, I'm being cheeky because they're not predictions. It's kind of like saying, you know, if we're on the highway driving toward Florida, we're probably going to get there. You know, if we're not headed toward Canada, chances are we're not going to go to Canada. So it's just, it's an observation. You know what I'm talking about. Continuing, I predict AI and machine learning will continue to amaze and terrify with all its lying signs and false wonders, a la Jaron Lanier meets 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But my top prediction for the year, are you ready? Because all of that's depressing. My top prediction for the year is us here, this network of listeners and effectual doers, hopefully, will get smarter, better, and more of a frightful discomfort and concern for the ne'er-do-wells void of conscience. So I hope that really is a prediction. And, you know, speaking of more of an observation, this might be a little harsh, but honestly, I don't think it is. Here's a new video idea I'm flirting with right now. You know, certain concepts are thought of certain ways, and we need to rewire our thinking in this country. And so here's my thought. Here's my idea. I'm probably going to make this video. I haven't made a video since 2009. It's high time I start doing that, I think, on YouTube, that is. And it's a good way to get information out. I think people are on YouTube. It's time maybe to draw traffic away. And I don't know. Anyway, here's the concept. In this deeply unsettling way, this is kind of a working title, as they say. In this deeply unsettling way, Americans are actually dumber than wild animals. Or I might call it, to say Americans are like dumb herd animals is insulting to herd animals. And when you think about it, it's true. What do I mean? Well, animals can sense danger. Think about herd animals. Watch watch any of the Nat Geo programs or any other kind of animal documentaries. Remember Wild Kingdom? Animals can sense danger. Animals will alert the herd. You know, you watch the documentaries, you know, and you see the animals, they have some kind of a signal. They alert the herd. When alerted, the herd will do its level best to flee from danger. The herd recognizes the signal of danger. When attacked, if flight is not an option, or even if it is in some cases, some animals will fight to defend their lives even to the death of themselves or the other animal. Americans, by contrast, generally can't sense danger. Don't know how to communicate it, even if they could sense it. You know, to that, I would say glyphosate, vaccines, autism, fluoride, VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, cell phones, Wi-Fi radiation, military suicides, etc. Democide, essentially, what R.J. Rummel called democide. Government kills more people than anything else in a variety of ways, but, you know, we don't have an honest accounting of those statistics, so who can know? Not only don't Americans respond, they not only don't respond appropriately by fleeing danger when warned, but actually ridicule those few brave enough to warn. Oh, that's just a conspiracy. It's painfully ironic. When attacked, they usually roll over and concede, capitulate, lie down, and die, basically. And when seeing others attacked, including offspring, they usually assume it's the victim's fault. Kind of like that weird Colorado story that I'm still trying to figure out exactly what happened. And what was the video clip? I watched, you know, I don't know about you, but every news footage clip that I see of that weird incident leaves me scratching my head. The guy's a decent guy. He is a upstanding citizen, top honors in his class, served his country with honor, and then suddenly, what happened? See, and if you know, there's usually more to the story than you know. There's probably more to the story, don't you? But I digress. So that's my video idea. That's what I'm toying with. Continuing, though, I thought it was interesting. I think it was yesterday or the day before. Fox News aired a segment, Memorable Moments Caught on Camera in 2017, including the October 1st Las Vegas incident. Memorable, and I would add to that, memorable moments not caught on tape, Stephen Paddock's presence in Las Vegas, let alone in Mandalay Bay. Somehow, that was a memorable moment that was not caught on camera. So after reviewing, 250,000 photos or something, and thousands of hours of footage, the FBI still hasn't apparently found a photo that, or a clip that can be released to the public of Stephen Paddock, you know, because it's still an ongoing investigation, even though the only suspect, according to Aaron Rouse, is deceased. That doesn't sound fishy at all, does it? Continuing, so RT just did a story about how cell phones are bad for you. This is another in the, you know, bazillion stories and studies that have been done over the last 15 to 20 years, which, you know, if we really wanted to, we could go back to the 70s and the military studies of how that technology is obviously bad for you. But RT did a story, I think, yes, no, this was December 20th, I want to say. And cell phones are bad for you. And this is a common and recurrent theme that we hear. CBS has aired a number of stories in the last 5 or 10 years on this too. Cell phones are bad for you, but only in your sleep, which is absolutely ridiculous. Can we play that clip? Possible? In the remaining moments here. While we're waiting for that, from the description of the YouTube video, again, the video is titled Don't Sleep With Your Cell Phone. From the description, the California Department of Health has released guidelines about harmful cell phone radiation and how to protect yourself from potential health hazards. RT America's Trinity Chavez has the story. To that I say, thank goodness the California Department of Health funded a useless study with guidelines on how to protect myself. To hang up, dial 9. It's just, I mean, this is what we're doing. It's that old adage, you know, if you make something foolproof, only fools will use it. And that's basically what America is, you know. We are a window-licking, helmet-wearing nation. I mean, I used to joke about that years ago. Window Licker Nation was a hashtag that I joked about for a while. But, you know, that's a sad reality. That's where we're at. Is that ready by any chance? Can we play that?
Scientists have long suspected excessive cell phone usage was connected to cancer and certain birth defects. Now a new report says those claims may need to be taken more seriously. RT's Trinity Chavez reports tonight.
We've heard it all before, how cell phones can cause cancer. Well, now for the first time, health officials have released guidelines about harmful cell phone radiation and how you can prevent it.
This is definitely something to think about. I have kids. They have phones also. I mean, it's just a part of our everyday life.
If you sleep with your cell phone on your nightstand, you might want to find a new place to keep it. The California Department of Public Health is warning people who keep their cell phone within arm's reach while they sleep could be at risk of cancer, infertility, and other health issues. Dr. Karen Smith said, although the science is still evolving, there are concerns among some public health professionals and members of the public regarding long-term, high-use exposure to energy emitted by cell phones. According to the report, cell phones emit radio frequency energy when they send and receive signals to and from cell towers. And some scientists and public health officials believe this energy may impact human health. And with the average child getting their first cell phone at just around 10 years old, children may be the ones most at risk. Dr. Karen Smith says children's brains develop through the teenage years and may be more affected by cell phone use. Parents should consider reducing the time their children use cell phones and encourage them to turn the devices off at night. The strategies the CDPH released for lowering cell phone-related health issues includes keeping the phone away from the body, reducing cell phone use when the signal is weak, and keeping the phone away from the bed at night. Those were just to name a few. Now, while some people were open to these precautionary steps, others weren't as easily persuaded.
Absolutely, yes. I would definitely, you know, go by whatever guidelines that we would have to follow.
I mean, it's something to think about, but on the other hand, this is the new world. Everybody's using cell phones, and no one ever thinks about using an earpiece or Bluetooth, which prevents it, but what are you going to do? You have to go with the flow.
While there have been numerous studies done throughout the years, the fact still remains that there is no convincing evidence that cell phone radiation can increase the chances of one getting cancer. Reporting in New York, Trinity Chavez, RT.
Is it me, or is that utterly absurd? You know, keeping it away from the body. There's a website, a fun website called Microwave News, microwavenews.com. A report on non-ionizing radiation. That's a go check that out for fun headlines like this. But so the report and the guidelines issued include keeping the phone away from the body. But, you know, don't worry. It's just at night. Somehow these things turn into gremlins at night when you're sleeping. Only when you sleep. Keeping it away from the body. You know, it emits essentially pulse electricity, electrical waves, signals. It will stop your pacemaker. That's another story that's floating around. What was the – some of the other headlines, you know, over the years, again, suggestibilist question, are cell phones bad for your health? Some of the CBS headlines, I mentioned that earlier, some of the CBS headlines over the years, in recent years, cell phones and cancer, 8 dumb ways to boost possible risk. That's a backwards headline. Mistake, sleeping with your cell phones and cancer. That was from the CBS series that they ran previously. I like these two, though. This is, again, speaking of the contradiction, cell phones alter brain activity, good or bad? Is that good or bad? Maybe it's good that it alters your brain activity. So a device, your body is comprised largely of electrical signals. The way it functions is through electrical signals. Here's a device that emits electrical signals. Sometimes it surges, sometimes it bursts into flames.
It's kind of like
was the norm with the Galaxy Note 7, for instance. But, you know, putting that close to your body, something that might stop pacemakers, is it bad? Well, we don't know. The science isn't settled on it. I'll tell you, if the science is settled on anything, it's that cell phone radiation is bad for your body. So that was interesting, that headline, 2011, cell phones alter brain activity, good or bad? And then the follow-up in 2012, again from CBS, this is all CBS. Study, no scientific evidence, quote-unquote, that cell phones are harmful. There's no scientific evidence. And then fast forward to, there was the CNET article in 2016, cell phones and cancer, 9 things you should know right now. CBS News in 2017, are cell phones bad for our health? Again, suggestibilist titles. Are they bad for our health? Yeah, but you know, what do you do? So, those are, you know, so the answer to the question, are cell phones bad for our health? Who cares, right? Because apparently Americans are so stupid, we need a study, a report, and a news story. Wait, another news story reporting on the latest report to tell us this stuff is harmful, since we're not smart enough to self-diagnose and realize we feel bad. You know what? That burning sensation that I get when I put it in my pocket, where it feels like that part of my body is heating up and starting to feel uncomfortable, like basically it's being cooked like ham and eggs. I should just ignore that. That's nothing. I'll just move it over here, and then suddenly that area of my body starts to feel like it's being cooked like ham and eggs. That's probably just heartburn in my back pocket. Side effects may include death. Ask your doctor if cell phones are right for you. It's ridiculous. Do you see why I'm flirting with this video idea? Did I mention my video idea? And in other patently obvious hypocritical news, the Wired headline, science says fitness trackers don't work, wear one anyway. That's literally a Wired headline. Science says fitness trackers don't work, wear one anyway. And that was published on Christmas, Merry Christmas, with, you know, a beautiful, attractive image of Fitbits. I hate that word, by the way. Personal technology is getting a bad rap these days. It keeps getting more addictive. Not if you don't use it, it doesn't. Notifications keep us glued to our phones. Autoplay episodes lure us into Netflix binges. Social awareness cues, like the seen by list on Instagram stories, enslave us to obsessive aerobic usage patterns. Aerobic, that's an interesting adjective. Blink twice if you've ever closed Instagram only to reopen it reflexively. Are we surprised, though? You know, the story continues. Our devices, apps, platforms, experts increasingly warn, have been engineered to capture our attention and ingrain habits that are, it seems self-evident, less than healthy. Yeah. Remember Sean Parker's Axios admission? We knew this, and we did it anyway. All of the social platforms rely on exploiting this vulnerability in human psychology. Sean Parker said it at Axios. We knew this. We did it anyway. Chamath Palihapitiya said it better in his Stanford School of Business interview, and in all of the subsequent, the MSNBC interview and all of the other interviews he's done, saying it's bad. I don't let my kids use it. I don't do it. It exploits a vulnerability. Everything around you is being engineered to exploit vulnerabilities in mankind. It's called sin. You know, the opioid addiction. There was a video Fox News aired. We might play that here in a minute. But there was a video Fox News aired about, and this was just a few days ago, about BioCore RX, the company that is now the latest, greatest on the scene for the implantable the naltrexone implant to fight addiction. And the CEO of BioCore RX was saying that in the video that addiction is – it's just an illness of the brain. No, it's sin, dummy. And they're exploiting this weakness in the opioid addiction, which has a pervasive and it becomes a chronic problem, probably lifelong in many cases. And so to exploit that in similar fashion to what social media does is diabolical and just plain evil. You know, to exploit it so that you can create these solutions, proposed solutions. You see what I'm saying? That's what's happening. This is not good. So Wired, the Wired story, science says fitness trackers don't work. Wear one anyway. By the way, you recall, of course, guys like Scott Klosaki, Jim Hunter, Chris Cook, Regina Dugan, Michio Kaku, Ray Kurzweil, and all the others talking about how wearable tech will become implantable tech, right? You remember that, right? So you shouldn't be surprised when you see the Wired headline. Science says fitness trackers don't work. They don't work. Wear one anyway. Why? Because this is where it's going. And I'm not the expert who said it, but all of these experts, again, Scott Klosaki, Jim Hunter, Chris Cook, Regina Dugan, Michio Kaku, Ray Kurzweil, many others. Just do a search for any of those names. Wearable, implantable. Name, wearable, implantable. Do a search. You'll see. They're saying that wearable tech will, not might, will become implantable tech. It's called transhumanism. Speaking of predictions for 2018, we're going to see more of that. And so what comes next then? Wired headline, science says fitness trackers don't work, wear one anyway. So what comes next? What comes next after transhumanism, by the way? Post-humanism, i.e. Romans 11:25. For those who either don't recall or missed the memo, maybe we can play this clip. Remember, listeners of this broadcast and this network will – oops, sorry. We'll play that after the break. But listeners of this broadcast will perhaps recall Scott Klosaki at the 2016 Global Gaming Expo and what he said. Stick around. We'll come back with that right after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. So this is Scott Klosaki again. The title of the YouTube video is Scott Klosaki, Digital Transformation of Humanity and Gaming. Gaming is sort of an afterthought. Digital Transformation of Humanity and Gaming. This is Scott Klosaki speaking at the September 2016 Global Gaming Expo. Listen to this.
He is a visionary technology architect who helps organizations position themselves to win in the market through the consulting firm he founded, Future Point of View. His latest startup is Crowdscribed, a new paradigm in crowd-generated book publishing that reverses the entire publishing process in order to take the risk out of the traditional publishing model. Scott will challenge your thinking, translate complicated concepts into layman's terms, and get your creative juices flowing. Please help me welcome Scott Klosaki.
Let me tell you a digital transformation story. And this is a story about Mafia 1.0 to Mafia 2.0. So 2 days ago, I get a call from the CFO of a large steel company. And he says, well, we need some help with cybersecurity. And the reason is we just wired out $50,000 in a scam that, if you're familiar with it, it's called the CEO scam, where when a CEO or a CFO leaves town, somebody in organized crime will send a spoofed email, right, an email that comes from the address of a CFO or the CEO to one of the controllers or somebody in accounting, and they'll say, hey, we need to wire out money for this deal. And then if you wire the money out, you're actually wiring it out to a Chinese bank account where you're never going to see it again. And so it's not unusual that I would get a call that somebody's wired out this amount of money. And by the way, there have been companies that have wired up to $7 million out in this scheme, right? The $50,000 is just the first wire. And if you fall for that one, then they try to send you another request for more money. So he tells me the story. It's not interesting so far, but then it gets interesting because he said the thing was, we know about this scheme. And we still wired the money out. And the reason is, even though we told people that you can't wire the money without a verbal confirmation because you can't trust the emails, the person, the controller in this department who got this email tried to call the CFO. CFO was on vacation, which is the way the scam actually works. Tried to call somebody else. They were out of town. And so he thought he was doing the right thing, and he just wired the money out. The group that actually does this CEO scheme is the Greek Mafia out of Canada. And so far, it's estimated that they've been able to get $1.6 billion by getting people to wire money out. That is the digital transformation from Mafia 1.0 to Mafia 2.0. You know, I'm fascinated by what technology does. I've spent my whole career in the technology space. I've spent a lot of that time building companies. But I've spent the last decade or so just working with executives on how do you use technology to win in the market. And so this transformation that we're going through, which I want to talk a bit more about with you, is fascinating to me because I don't think we really understand. We're living in the middle of it. And because we're living in the middle of it, I don't think we have great context for how much it's actually changing things. And so what I wanted to share with you a little bit today are just some thoughts, just to try to open up your minds a little bit about this time we are living in right now and what's really going on. When you hear the words digital transformation, the way I want you to think about it is that it is a time in history. And so you go forward a couple hundred years and historians or history teachers are talking to their students. They're going to explain that, yeah, there was this time in history, right? It was from 2000 to roughly, let's say, 2050. And during this time, human beings and technology integrated at a level that had never been seen. And that digital transformation changed humanity more than any other time, more than any other time. And that's what I think is a little difficult for us to understand because we're living right in the middle of it. So we lose context to the fact. Now we know, especially those of us who are older, we know how much things have changed from when we were younger to now. But we are absolutely losing context for how much more change is going to come. Much less in a business sense, how to leverage it. So let's talk about this digital transformation a second. If you're a history teacher 200 years from now and you're talking to young people, you're going to say, look, there was before the internet and after the internet. And before the internet, it was like the dark ages, right? There was nothing that was connected. Everything was isolated. Whereas today, everything is connected. Organizations are connected to their customers electronically. People are connected to each other. Devices are all connected now. And the young people are going to say, oh my gosh, you know, how could people even have survived in that time? And we can go through and look at all these things that are historically significant. Like today, we don't think much about how everything is becoming connected and how much that changes the world when data flows across the world. Or we don't look at things such as mobile devices. I mean, we're all carrying mobile devices today, right? And it's funny because it can look out at any audience. Uh-huh, yeah. And the whole time I'm talking, there will be people that are on their devices. Now, they could be taking notes, yeah? They could be tweeting, best speaker I've ever heard, right? Who knows? But it's amazing how addicted we've become to these things already. Now, what we have to understand is this is just a first step. It's a first step. We're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. And I know it's a hard thought for some people to think about it, we're going to be implanting technology so that we can connect better to technology, but we will. But let's just talk about mobile for a second. Today, these devices are like outboard brains. So that's what psychologists say. They're like outboard brains.
Did you catch that? Did you hear what he said? The digital transformation, what does it mean? He says it's difficult for us to comprehend what's happening, but what we have to understand is this, he said. This is just a first step. Again, remember the headline. This headline just recently, scientists, Christmas headline, science says fitness trackers don't work. Wear one anyway. Why? Because like Scott Klosaki said at the Global Gaming Expo back in 2016, and you've heard this clip a number of times on this network, he said, what we have to understand is this. It's just a first step. It's the first step in what? The march toward transhumanism. And he said, we're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. We're going to, not might. That's what's happening. You're being conditioned, softened up right now for that. What a great idea. So going back to the other story, take a mobile device that's bad for your health, at arm's length even, and stick it next to your brain and cook your brain, because that's not bad. Oh, no, wait. Stick it inside you. What could possibly go wrong? So my question is, in those three steps, where do you suppose we are now? We're getting awful close to number three, aren't we? I think we're going to see hintings at number three this year. I think by, you know, some, I mean, I've talked about the stories that there are predictions by 2025, cell phones will go away. Well, where will they go? They'll go in you. That's where all this is headed. What will you do? You're going to be faced with some interesting choices on the near horizon. It's time to decide now what you will do. Will you capitulate to a digital currency? Will you capitulate to an implantable technology device? Will you capitulate to an opioid addiction implant? You know, because then it can't be stolen from you. It's not a patch that can be stolen or fall off when you take a shower and you're too stupid to put a new patch on, you know. So I mean, we can't have people. Anyway. Speaking of implantables, Fox News just ran another story about the opioid epidemic, chipping. Like I said, there was one back in, I think, March or April of last year. I think it was March. A different company. And remember the implant provision in Obamacare that went away? You know, how fortuitous, that this appears to be the end run on the specific language we've seen over the years. Like the language in H.R. 3200, an early draft of the Affordable Care Act that got people excited. Remember, the language specifically was a Class 2 device that is implantable, life-supporting, or life-sustaining. That's the language they use with the Class 2 and Class 3 devices. And remember that hoax, you know, that hoax about that language. Oh, yeah, come on. It's, you know, that hoax that you can still find on FDA.gov, like the article dated 2004. Over at FDA.gov, guidance for industry and FDA staff, Class 2 special controls guidance document. Listen, implantable radio frequency transponder system. Yeah, but you know, that's for, I mean, like pacemakers and stuff. No, listen to the title of the FDA guidance. Guidance for industry and FDA staff, Class 2 special controls guidance document, implantable radio frequency transponder system for what? For patient identification and health information. What? Yeah, that was FDA, December 10, 2004. Guidance issued. And there's a crossover of the language. For example, as I said, in H.R. 3200, the early draft of the Affordable Care Act that got people excited and then was scrubbed, you know, so it went away. Remember that hoax that after the Affordable Care Act, it got broken apart and piecemealed into other legislation, as is customary. That's always the case, right? We'll create a new bill and we'll slip this in with it. We'll slip it in with an appropriations bill or something like that. What does this have to do with appropriations? Well, nothing. We just couldn't sneak it in over there. So, yeah, that hoax. And remember how I've repeatedly mentioned that back in 2006 in a slide presentation, CSIS old school bad guy James Lewis stated that the whole grain of rice stuff that we've heard for years, over a decade now, was all just a setup. Remember, it was the – I mean, it was included in things like Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism, America, Freedom to Fascism. By the way, have you seen it recently? And to his credit, the interview – the follow-up interview that Alex Jones did was pretty fantastic. I mean, Aaron Russo was fantastic is what I'm saying. It was a good thing that interview was made. And so that should be like a collector's edition. There should be on everyone's shelf America, Freedom to Fascism and the interview, listening to Aaron Russo talk and how he tries to stick to the facts. You know, he's asked at one point, for example, you know, speculative subject matter, and Aaron says, well, that's speculative and I don't want to speculate, but I can tell you about my firsthand interactions with Nick Rockefeller, for example, and how he told me 11 months before September 11, 2001, that something big was going to happen and we were going to go looking in caves and as a result, you know, attack Afghanistan and Iraq. And Aaron said, I didn't originally make the connection, but then we invaded Iraq and Afghanistan, and I went, oh, that's what that was. So anyway, I digress. But remember I said back in 2006 that in James Lewis' slide presentation, I need to pull that back out, that the grain of rice stuff that was included in America, Freedom to Fascism, by the way, was that was all just a setup. This is all – it's all salesmanship. It's all gamesmanship, Rand Corporation, game theory, fashion. That thing was what James Lewis called something to say no to in sales vernacular to get people softened up to the real technology they already had developed. And so we're starting to see, you know, more truth in advertising as far as this is concerned. And so all of this should be disturbing. Technology that is harmful to your body should not be stuck in your body. You shouldn't stick anything in your body anyway when it comes to this stuff, you know. And the warnings are all around us. I mentioned microwavenews.com previously, and the stories, you know, a couple of the stories that are up right now from Monday, December 18th, 2017, EMFs and miscarriages. The evidence mounts. At least seven studies now show an association of, you know, EMFs and miscarriages. So, you know, it's not just bad for you. It's bad for posterity, obviously. Or how about this one from September 22nd, SARS for Apple Watch 3 released. So Apple has released the RF exposure numbers, SARS or specific absorption rates, for its new Series 3 watches. But we're already wearing this crap. So the studies come out basically after people are already wearing it or using it or whatever. And people are, you know, you heard the RT clip and the guy at the end saying, yeah, you know, it's a brave new world. What are you going to do? You going to stick a phone in your head, or, you know, are you going to be one of those crazy Luddites who says, I don't want a Galaxy Note 7 to explode in my brain? Those crazy Luddites. Did I mention my video idea, Americans are dumber than herd animals? But I digress. You know, in a brief departure, in Team American news, Kim Jong-un says North Korea's nuke program is complete. He has a nuke button on his desk, and he's not afraid to use it. That was pretty much the headline over the weekend. News has devolved to child fiction lore, basically, which is why I say cartoonish reality on this broadcast typically. I thought this was interesting too. Business Insider. Uber. This was a Business Insider headline. Uber Eats is outgrowing Uber in some cities. Born in Los Angeles in 2013, Uber Eats is on target to take $3 billion in sales, according to a recent report in the Financial Times. This is utterly ridiculous. This is America. You know, that's the Wall-E scenario, basically. And just an observation real quick. Do you realize local businesses can't advertise on Sirius? I was thinking about this over the weekend. It's pointless for a local business to advertise on Sirius. And this gets back into other subject matter that I've touched on, that basically gets again to Lieutenant Eric Schein's point about the excerpt from Philip Bobbitt's The Shield of Achilles and this fascist suprastate that we're living in now. All of these systems are conspiring and being built in a way. The small business that's successful gets gobbled up by the monoliths. And systems like Sirius make it pointless. It's a waste of time for local businesses to advertise. And by the way, Sirius, the Dog Star, well, that's not a cult or esoteric at all, is it? But where are the mechanisms for the local businesses to advertise? And it's becoming less in vogue. It has been for years. Remember the old signs like back in the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, and back? The handmade signs or the locally made signs, someone would paint a sign and it was cool. Some local artist, you know, so that's a job that a local artist can do and making something that's valuable. And that has gone out of vogue now for quite some time. Now it's cooler to have the big, slick, you know, marketing stuff, computer, you know, digitally drafted and created signs, things like that. So where is the place that local businesses can advertise? We need to focus on that more. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018. Listen, 2018 is going to be a different year. It's time to double down and get serious about some things because, like I said, we're going to be faced with some difficult choices. And, of course, bad guys are using all kinds of tools of art, you know, again, Rand Corporation, game theory, kind of thinking to, you know, in cybernetic totalist fashion, get the rats to think that they are actually deciding for themselves as they are maneuvered through the maze toward the cheese. And it's not really cheese. It's cheese flavored, cheese looking rat poison. That's what it really is. So we're going to have some interesting choices coming up, probably this year. I would call them forks in the road. So get ready, because it's coming. some things, just some parting observations to kind of corroborate what I've said earlier. Speaking of wearables and implantables, or wearables becoming implantables, the monster, you know, I always think of that Michio Kaku, stupid, what is it, the, oh gosh, that series, can't think of it now. But the video, 1 minute or so, where he says, you know, imagine if you could wear a chip. And I always think, wear a chip? If it's in you, it's wearing you. You are the wearable for the chip then. That's creepy weird. Anyway, monster.com, which again, you know, whatever, bad guy stuff, you know, monster.com, monster drink, et cetera, et cetera. Who are the monsters? The humans. That was a monster back in the old vernacular. A monster was a human. So monster.com for monsters or humans. The headline, forget wearables, implantables could be the future of tech jobs. Yay! Implantables could be the future. Here's how, like Scott Klosaki said, here's how to capitalize on this evil. See how I say, or why I say, we're headed back to Genesis 6 at breakneck speed? That is God, the way God put it, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We are being engineered into a situation where that's all there is. I've thought about it for years. Where is the noble, honorable pursuit? Where is the farmer who's just able to farm, or the craftsman or the artisan who's able to build a house? You know, who can build a cracker box from the 50s? Who can frame in a roof these days? Who can run a plaster crown mold? If you could even find someone to do that, it would be cost prohibitive today. So anyway, the monster headline, forget wearables, implantables could be the future of tech jobs. How about this one? Business cloud. This was back in August of 2016. Wearable tech will become implantable tech. This was Chris Cook, IT director of Warrington-based app development company Appetized. Fun stuff. He was saying the same thing. Again, that was 2016. Or the WTVOX story. Top 10 implantable wearables soon to be in your body. Go read that fun story. Just some corroborating stuff. I haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet. We'll talk more about more fun stuff tomorrow. I hope it was informative. Brace yourself for 2018. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.